months sabbatical. My wife and me were out here. You guys were praying for us, I think 2 months. We got to take care of the household, finances, whatever, paperwork, business, yeah. Aloha, the usual aloha, right? It's good, really, to be back after a sabbatical. You guys have to have sabbatical. You take a break. I told Pastor Ben that I can take two sermons next, but he said, no, February. We'll do it in February. 11 days ago was New Year, right? Have you had your New Year's resolutions? Yay, did you list it down? Because this is the very, very good time of the year to start with God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How was your 2019? Was it good? 2020. When you go to the eye doctor, 2020 is 20 yards, a nice vision of your eye. They're going to check your eye. If your eye is good, 2020, you're going to read your letters, A, B, C. Oh, that's small. I can still read a little bit down there. But 2020, we must have God's vision in us. This is year 2020 for God, right, brother? This should be God's year. Start all over again. Like today is 11th day. I just started Proverbs 11 again. Tomorrow is 12. But anyways, you know what? Let me pause for 1 minute. My brother Millie is in Samoa right now. Right now, the funeral is going on. 1 o'clock. Or 12, yeah. 1 o'clock, 15 minutes from now. Please, let's bow down for 1 minute. And just pray for Millie's brother and sister. It's going to be with the Lord. Yeah, they completely laid them down on the grave. Let's pray in solitude. Father God, we just come before you right now. We pray for Millie and the whole family there in Samoa. I know it's a celebration of life. And we believe Junior and Lulu is in heaven right now. They're with you, Lord. And thank you for embracing them in your kingdom. And as I come before you, Lord, today, I'm going to share the message that we all fall. It's a struggle in this world, fallen world right now, that we're not perfect. And I hope, Father God, that the blessing that you gave me to have this message to be shared with my brothers and sisters here will be an awakening for each one of us, because we all fall. And you, as our Redeemer, our Advocate, Father, He can cleanse our sins, whatever we have. Thank you, Jesus. May this message be a blessing to every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's take your notes. What does it say here? We all fall, but which way? Who has fallen down here physically? How many times have you fallen down physically? Plenty, yeah. Sleep. If you're ankle, or my wife, there was an incident in California, I'm sorry, she fell down accidentally, so I don't like that. But how about spiritually falling away from God, going astray? How many times? So many times in my life. Believe you me, I can count. How about doing the things your own way, not pleasing to God? We have struggles in our life, family issues, relationship, in-laws, everything. We all have to give it all unto God. Look at what the song we have. We all, where was that? We all fall down, yeah? We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of the cross. the greatness of mercy and love, yeah, at the feet of the cross, we cry holy. We want to cleanse ourselves from sins, yeah? I'm going to read, this is about the temptation of Jesus Christ. Remember 40 days he was in the wilderness? Yeah? He was hungry. And he was tempted by Satan himself. And let me show you this verse here. Oh. Can we have the Luke? Do you have the Luke 4, 1 to 8, Benz? If you don't mind. Thank you. Okay, look at this. I'm going to read it. Just follow along. Yeah. 4, 1 to 8. This is the temptation of Christ. This is a long message. Maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, I think. Are you ready, guys? Okay. Then Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry, of course. Nothing in his stomach. Yeah? And the devil said to him, look at this. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. What did he say? But Jesus answered, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Amen? Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority is like he's the king. Come on. No, it was only God who, you know. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Yeah, right. And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, whoa, all will be yours. I don't think so. And Jesus answered, said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Look at your notes, the next one here. Let's follow. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord God to test. Did you in your life ever put God to test? Is there one point in your life that, oh, I'm going to test God. Let's see what he's going to say to me. I don't think so. That is not right. Yeah? We are never to test God. Amen? He is the one who's going to test our faith. Right? He does the thing, everything. Yeah. And that goes to your point number one there. Number one, we all and will, the blank there is put that fall. We all have and will fall. You have a ball pin there. So look at what Paul says, the Apostle Paul. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one perfect. Only him, right? My brother, my pastor, nobody. I fall several times in my life. It's not a rosy what thingy, the ride. I married my wife for 39 years now, but hey, I don't know how many times we fall. But we were able to get up because you know why? My advocate father is there with me, yeah? All of us are with, we have that sinful nature since Adam and Eve, right? When Adam and Eve made the first sin, it's implanted in us. That's so sad, but that's how it is. That's why Jesus came to break the relation, you know, to get back the relationship broken in the garden, right? Jesus was tempted and tested by Satan. I don't know how many times. This is recorded only 2 times he was there. But for 40 days, how many did Satan, brother? only two is recorded here, but there's probably so many that when, look at this, the next verse. Where's that? Luke 14, yeah. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. There never was a record that Jesus was tempted again. You know who tempts the devil now? Us. Every one of us. Right? He's the one devouring for each person in this whole wide world. Hey, come on, don't follow Jesus. He's the one. He's the culprit. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy God's promises from us. Amen? You know, yeah? He has the authority. But I don't do that. Okay, another one, another person. Do you know another historical person in the Old Testament that was tested and tempted? Brother, in the Old Testament, that guy was rewarded twice. Job. Did you know that Job never gave up God? Yeah? God took away his wife, his children, the possessions that all that he all have. Oh, there's just so much in the Bible that you guys need to read. I know a lot of you know about it. But what happened? He was rewarded double than what he lost. Amen? That's Job there. So let's take a look at what Paul, Apostle Paul, say in 1 John 2:1. It's in your notes. Let's read it together. Ready? My little children, I am writing things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Now, this is what we call the repentant sinner. I also were able to, you know, share this to you a couple of. It's submission to God before temptation comes, right? Submit to God. And look at the verse here. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I hope we are not. I know a lot of you here are really in line with the Word of God, so I'm not, maybe the people around there, this is our open door website. Whoever is listening to you, where's the camera? Benz. There. Please, whoever is listening right now, submit to God if you encounter any temptation in your life, trials, sufferings, whatever it is. Just submit to God first and resist the devil, yeah? Because that is the most important thing, to be have a repentative heart, bro. And then the Father, Jesus Christ, will forgive you. Yeah? The question is, in your blank there, which way will you fall? Again, there's only two things, up and down, negative, positive. Are you going to fall down up or fall down to the devil? I'm going to read to you what Hebrews says here. If you want to read with me, let's read it. Ready? Go. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. I suggest, I recommend, I encourage you, it's a must that we must fall upon the Lord. Amen? We must fall upon the Lord. There's no other way to go but the Lord. When you fall away from God, it hardens your heart. It hardens. And when you keep on falling farther and farther, I don't know where it's going to go. H-E-L-L. That's what it is. Yeah? The devil, anyway, again, he's going to steal, kill, and destroy the promises of God. This goes to the next blank there. One major cause. The blank there is cause for temptation. Let's see what it is. Let's see what James say about this. One major cause for temptation. Let's read it. Ready? Go. No one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone either. Temptations, there you go, comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil action, and evil actions lead to death. Oh, our wants, our likes, our desires, the I, myself, and me. That's our challenge in life, yeah? King David, look at what happened to King David. What was the biggest mistake? It's about Bathsheba, yeah? Man, I don't know. It's sad, but you know what? David repented. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. That's David, King David saying it. At the end, he was convicted because he really prayed to God. He said, I made a mistake. Right, brother? The sin that he did, as long as you put it at the foot of the cross, lay it down. So David came back as a whole. Okay, now the next blank here is forgiveness. Is a means, not an end in itself. You know, forgiveness is a powerful weapon against the devil, against the enemy. Not unless you forgave someone, because a lot of people wronged us. A lot of people offended us. Maybe, I don't know, anyone in your family, friends, all around. We just have a lot of different issues in our life because there's so many problems that we start to forget that we're humans. And this is a fallen world here again. And look at what's going on in the Middle East. I'm just praying that there's no super heated tension between our country and Iran. And I'm telling my wife, the end is coming. You know, if there is war, the war right now is not good. It's not man to man. It's the fire in the sky. You know, it's in the Bible. It's a revelation. It's a prophecy. There comes the day that all the sky will be in flames, brother. Just a drone killed this Suleiman, whatever his name is. No more soldier to soldier. They meet in the air. They meet under, I don't know. It's really crazy going on right now. Forgiveness is a means, not an end in itself. I'd like to read the adulterous woman here, John 8, 1 to 10. And then Benson will show the next. Okay. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Next. This they said, testing him. That they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her, at her first, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Those who heard it, being convicted by the conscience, went out by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And in your notes, look at that. And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more. Can you believe that? Jesus will forgive us if we have a repentant heart. Just give it all at the foot of the cross. The next verse here is, I kind of like ourselves to a dog. Like a dog that returns to its vomit, it is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you know this? I love this. King Solomon writes Proverbs, Psalm, Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Meaning like you do the same thing over and over again. The dog spit out, you know, they eat their food back. I'm so blessed that my two dogs are not doing that. They're wise dogs. They're trained. I never saw them eat through. I never even saw them throw it. You know, it's really a blessing. You know, our body vomits when it rejects food, right? Yeah, there are habits and behaviors that we form that are unhealthy. The funny thing is, even after recognizing the unhealthiness, we still return to those behaviors. How can that be? We need God, my brothers and sisters. We need to just really ask Him. We need help. Yeah? A faith in Christ requires all of us to continually renew and better ourselves. Amen? Yeah? Yeah. Are there any foolish behaviors you guys have that you continue to return to even when you're already rejected it? Are there? I hope not. Yeah. Remember our advocate father. Go to him. If you come with this challenge in life that, oh, am I doing the same thing again? I hope not. Please. You know the goal in your blank there? The goal is change. Choice. We already know who God is. Every one of us here are reading the Bible, doing the devotion, which is really very important. Again, I challenge you, this is the first month of the year, 11 days, it's not too late to start reading the whole Bible the whole year. You only need 15 minutes. We have a reading plan that I use with New Hope, but if you want, we can give you one. You can read the whole Bible the whole year, 15 minutes a day. I always say, we work 8 hours. If you work 8 hours, how many hours you sleep? How many downtimes you have watching TV, doing things that is, you cannot give 15 minutes to God? Please, please, please. Let's read this together, what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we Christians can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Amen? Likeness to be the person who God wants us to be. Yeah. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Please, Lord, increase in ourselves and decrease our fleshly and worldly ways. That's my prayer, my passion for you guys to please do that this whole year of 2020. Bottom verses. Let's take a look again at our mentor and the wisest man in the Bible. He's the wisest man. No one can beat the wisdom of this person, King Solomon, the son of David. Remember the first son was, you know, taken by God. Remember that? Because of a sin, right? So this is his second son that made the temple in Jerusalem. Brother? He finished the temple. The dad started the temple. Solomon finished it. It's so sad that, what's the name of his first son? The first son of King David, that's sort of taken by God because of sin with Bathsheba, right? Anyways, look at this. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man, he says, may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. I'm not saying you must fall 7 times and you do the same sin 7 times. It's probably a lot of different, you know, sin that you have. But hey, Solomon says, you can rise again. Again, going back to the advocate father, go back to God. Yeah? It doesn't work that way when you keep on sinning the same sin. And Jesus even says 77 times 7, brother. Right? In the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. This is Solomon. But Jesus said, you can be forgiven. If you sin 77 times 7, that's a lot. The second one, another Solomon's saying and wisdom. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent. Oh, bro, I want to be reverent every day, bro, but I'm only human. But I know God will redeem, will save me, will give me the go signal to Omar, don't do that anymore. But honey, I'm sorry, I'm still struggling, honey. Sometimes it's dawned on me that, hey, I need God more every day. That's why we're not done. Reading the word, applying it, it will never stop until the day that you face God face to face up there. You understand? Yeah? You know what I mean? We're still in this human world. It's not getting better in the day. As I told you, the war is imminent. I don't know if we go there. I don't think it's going to come. Now, the second one here, the third one. I already read that. But I like this. I kind of like this because this is what I do every day. Yeah. Solomon is telling me and each one of us that the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines, look at this, shines ever brighter into the perfect day. So when you wake up in the morning, again, thanking God you're still breathing, you're still doing things that you like, you're eating the food that you want to buy, oh, yummy foods, whatever it is. Let's take a look at the next one here. This is written by Jeremiah. I love this verse so much. I saw this verse at Pastor Ben's house. It's in the wall. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Wow, why don't we sing this together, you guys? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning to thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. And it goes on. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. It's new in the morning, yeah? Every morning when we wake up, remember that God is there for you. I hope and pray that you open up a Bible. And the best thing to start with, if you know in the Bible, you can do Matthew, Mark, Luke, then the first four epistles of the New Testament. Then you get to know who Jesus is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right, brother? That's the best. John. If you want John, the whole book of John, you will know that Jesus is a cousin of John, the Baptist. They're six, you know, they're cousins. Elizabeth is the, you know. Everything is beautiful when you read the Bible. You know, Joseph, Moses, Abraham, a lot of them. And this, the next verse is Deuteronomy. Look at this. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear and be dismayed. Claim that the Lord will never forsake you and leave you. You follow him every day of your life. I really cannot, every time I share, I go out, evangelize, my first verse is always Matthew. I write down whether Filipino, cashier, or whatever. I started the first of this year. I think I probably evangelized about 20 already. Everywhere I go, Matthew 6:33, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and then Jeremiah 29:11. Matthew 6:33 is the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Meaning to say, That's your foundation. If you don't put him first, you won't get anything what you want in your life. Relationship. Last is money. Health. Yeah. And everything. And then Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him up here and he will direct your path. And the last one here is, I love this because God gave me the blessing to write the songs for the, this is the, again, brother, this is our church song. And if I am able to share this in another church, maybe I'll be singing this. I'm just wrapping up today. It was messed up. But for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. Thank you, Father God, for this message, Lord. I hope, Lord God, that as we move on this year, 2020, although we may fall, I hope and pray that the way to go is to you, Lord. We must fall upon you, Lord, all the time. And again, in order to be able not to sin, submit to God first. And if it ever does come, resist it. Resist the devil. You have the Holy Spirit in you that can tell you, stop, don't go there. Thank you, Jesus, again for this message, Lord. And I hope everyone is blessed, everyone is touched. It's an awakening for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Brother. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Well, praise God. You know what really comes down to? Choice. We got free will. Are you going to do it God's way or not? Because you want to do it your way? Well, like I tell people, you're on your own. God wants to bless your life. God wants his goodness to come forth in your life. But if you're going to say, oh, but this is what I really like to do, Pastor Ben, this is what I enjoy, I say, well, it's your choice. But you know what? God can only do so much. He'll keep loving you. He'll keep on showing that you are his child if you are a believer. But the fact is, really, you're on your own. And you know, when trouble comes, when hardship comes, don't blame God. Because, you know, God, he desires to bring forth his goodness in your life. But if you choose your own way, you know, the devil, he's going to throw a big party and say, yeah, I got him. But we do it God's way. You're going to see how your life will be so blessed in every way. You know that scripture my brother just shared here in Proverbs 28. It's on the second page. And it says, Proverbs 28, 13 to 14, it says, he who covers his sin will not what? Prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have what? Mercy. Mercy from God. And you got to understand something. I got to share with you this illustration. I used this before. I don't know if you remember it, but I really like this illustration because it really hits it right on the head of the nail, you know, so to speak. You know, the very fact there's this man that has a pet snake, and in the pet, I guess you can say, aquarium or whatever you want to call it, you know, there's sawdust, and this snake is just kind of slithering around in the sawdust. And he noticed one day, okay, I think my snake is really, really hungry. So he goes to the pet shop and he gets this white furry mouse. And you know, he kind of goes, okay, my snake will love this mouse. And it's plump and it looks juicy. I think my snake will love it. So he takes it home and he puts it in the aquarium, all right? And you can see the snake is kind of slithering around like this, very slow like this. And you know, the mouse knows he's about to be eaten up alive. You think he doesn't know? Yeah, he knows, right? And he starts scurrying around, kind of panicking, and he's trying to, you know, get as far as he can from the snake. Just then, the mouse kind of think, maybe if I do this, this will help. You know what he does? He starts pushing the sawdust, you know, kicking the sawdust on the snake, right? Thinking, okay, maybe if I just cover it up, you know, it will not come against me, right? It will not eat me up. And so he starts kicking the sawdust on the snake and starts burying it. And suddenly, you know, he keeps going. He's just frantically just going, kicking the sawdust. And then the snake is buried in the sawdust. He's thinking, yes, it's no longer there. But is it still there? Oh, yeah. Sooner than you think. He's thinking, I'm all safe, right? I'm all good now. And then suddenly, whammo, the snake has his meal for the day It's eating up alive. And you know, that's the thing, right? We think we can cover up our sin. We can hide our sin. We cannot. It will come and will pounce on you. The devil, he loves that. If he can trick you, right, into believing, yeah, if I just cover it up, no one knows. Maybe God even won't know. Oh, yeah, God knows. And you're going to experience spiritual death. That's what the Bible tells us. If you think you can hide your sin, you cannot. And here's the thing. I want to share this with you. I was kind of thinking, oh, should I share this? Because it's kind of embarrassing. But I think the Holy Spirit said, yeah, Ben, just go ahead and share it. You know, when I was like maybe, I don't know, 24, 25, I was working in the hospital, rehab hospital. I was an occupational therapist. And here's the thing. I, you know, came out of college not too long. And the fact of the matter is I had this very bad addiction. It was the fact I was addicted to cigarettes. And it was really bad, and I'm telling you, I was smoking like up to like 2 packs a day. It's pretty bad, right? And so I felt like, I gotta smoke. And so I would go in between my patients, believe that. And, you know, I had like maybe 3 or 4 minutes, like, I gotta go down. And the thing is, you only could smoke in the back of the hospital, and it was kind of like too far, it took too long. So one day I decided, you know what? I'm just gonna go down the elevator, go in the bathroom, and I'm gonna light up. Stupid, right? I know what I was thinking. I remember, you know, I can get away with this, right? I'm just going to cover up and close the door. Nobody knows. Yeah, right. I'm smoking in a bathroom in a hospital. What was I thinking? And so, guess what? The second time I did that, someone reported me. And my supervisor called me and said, Ben, I need to talk to you. I said, oh, okay, what happened? And she said to me, Ben, have you been smoking in the bathroom? Yes, I have. And he says, I'm going to give you a warning. Next time this happens, you're going to be let go. I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. And you know, I got to tell you, I told my dad about this. My dad, he looked at me and said, what was you thinking about, boy? You know? And I go, I don't know, Dad. And I thought, oh, I got away with it, Dad. I thought, you know, at least, you know, the first time. And he says, Ben, you should know better. And I said, yeah, Dad, you're right. But here's the thing, when it concerns our faith in God, you know, the fact is, right, is smoking cigarettes a sin? You know, people will say, well, it's not so much a sin, but the fact is, you're probably going to see Jesus a lot sooner. And I had to think about that, you know, and I thought about it. You know, I said, yeah, you know what? What am I doing? Because physically, I'm hurting myself. And I know a lot of times when I went down to smoke, you know, people would look at me and go, Ben, how come you're smoking? I thought you was a Christian, you know? And I hear things like that, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, you know what? It's not a very good witness. So praise God, I eventually just gave it up completely. A lot of prayer, a lot of brothers and sisters coming beside me and said, Ben, you got to quit. And I did, and I praise God for that because I tell you, if I didn't, I don't think I'd be here right now because I was getting, yeah, really bad. I mean, to the point where my lungs, I knew I couldn't handle even going up a flight of stairs. And you imagine, like 23, 24 years old. And I praise God, I've been set free. And you got to realize we all been set free by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. You believe in him. Don't ever say, I can't help it. No, that's not in our vocabulary, brothers and sisters. Because if you know you belong to Jesus Christ, you've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood he shed for you on the cross, he's set you free. You're free from disease, hardship, whatever it is, you know, addictions. You give it to Jesus. You've been set free. And know that God, he will hold you tightly. He will let you know that you belong to him. You are his child after all. And so we got to stand on what is the truth. And we do not make excuses. We say, thank you, Lord. I know my heart, my life belongs to you. And once you make that decision, you'll never be the same again because God, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He will always be with you. Amen? Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken to my brother Omar today. And I thank you, Lord, knowing that we truly have been set free. And Father, as my brother said, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. That Father, no matter what our lives may involve, you know, things that may not please you, things that we know we shouldn't be doing, Father, we just lay it all down right now. And we say, Lord, if it's not pleasing to you, we surrender it to you. Because, Lord, we want our lives to be a reflection of the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, if you're saying, you know, I know my heart belongs to Jesus, but if I were to be truthful, I know there are things I am doing right now that's not pleasing to God. And I need God's help more than anything because I know I can't do it on my own strength. But if you rely on the strength that comes from God, yeah, you've been set free. And God, he will show himself to be faithful and true in your life, that you're going to have so many victories in your life because your life belongs to him. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, yeah, that's me, Pastor Ben. I know I love Jesus. I believe in him, but I want to surrender whatever it is that is displeasing to him. I'm going to give it to him so that I know that my heart truly belongs to Jesus. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now so you say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else saying, yes, Lord, that is me. I want to be free. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I desire to be free. I don't want to live a life that is not true to you anymore. I want to live a life that I know your blessings will come as I surrender it fully to you. Father, for those that have raised their hands, I pray, Father, that you will just give them a touch right from heaven, right into their minds, right into their hearts. Let them know, Father, that you will be there. You will help them through whatever struggle it is so that they will know that they have victory because Jesus, he died victoriously for us on the cross. And he rose again, and now he lives in us, and we truly have victory after victory after victory because God, he will always bring it. Father, I thank you for what you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God.